Vectis Radio, FM 104.6, the heart of the island's community.
Right, in the studio we have Ronaldo on the desk.
Kitty, co-presenting.
On chair three, Danny Stimson.
And on number four, the two girls, you can speak, you're allowed.
Hiya, I'm Vanessa.
And hi, it's Hannah.
Right, you are from, tell me what you're here from. What did you do?
So we work for the RSPCA on the island.
Step forward, please.
And we both took part in the Ultra Challenge, which was the Round the Island walking event a couple of weeks ago, where we fundraised for all the animals at the centre.
Absolutely terrifying, I suppose, isn't it? You've done it twice, haven't you?
I have, yes. This was my second year in a row.
Oh,
so
dear.
Hannah's first time.
Yeah.
Hannah's last time?
I'd like to try and do it again.
I did only get to 44 kilometres, but I'd like to try and at least get to 53 and one day do it all. But it is something that I didn't realise that my body actually failed me in. It was the first time we'd done such a big stretch and it was such a hot day. It impacted on our feet and it impacted on me with regards to me feeling quite poorly, and that's why I had to cut out at 44.
Well, you'd give it a good go considering, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, you really did.
So
yeah,
it was
44 is a fabulous amount of kilometres, isn't it?
It is.
It's more than a marathon, isn't it?
Yeah. It is, yes.
I think it is. For me, it was just frustrating because I'd actually completed 50, around 50, in one of the training walks, so to not be able to do it on the day was quite disappointing.
Yes, but what type of day was it when you did it? Was it if it wasn't hot, if it's sultry, then it wouldn't be so bad, but the heat dehydrates you very quickly, so you have to take in a lot of water when you're walking, even if you're walking even at a slow pace. It's amazing that you have to rehydrate all the time, but even so, it doesn't matter. You had a go, you tried, and you got as far as you could.
Yeah.
And that's it. So you did fabulous. Well done to you. Hopefully you do it again.
So if in terms of your wonderful walk and your fundraising event, what were the highlights?
Finishing.
What'd you say?
I think, obviously, well, for myself, it was being able to, like, complete another one. I smashed my time from last year by nearly 4 hours.
Oh, well done.
You smashed it by 4 hours?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so, and my recovery as well was a lot quicker than last year, so I've learnt a lot in that kind of sense, which kind of gears me up to do, like, other events now, because they do ones all around the country, so you know, in the pipeline for, you know, the next couple of years, you know, so
yeah, that's pretty amazing. How much training did you do to actually do this second one and smash your time? You must have worked pretty hard for that, haven't you?
We started training in December. Obviously Hannah's never done anything like this before, so I kind of thought start a bit earlier and just to see like how we can do it.
Yeah.
And that gave us then plenty of time to like build it up.
Yeah. Did you have a proper training schedule in place? And
They do give you one, but obviously with working and stuff like that, I kind of worked around it, so right. Kind of done our own.
Yeah.
So which worked.
I would have done exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
I don't like being told what to do either. So.
I didn't boss you around too much, did I? No, not at all.
As long as you've got a logical, methodical process of getting to the kind of times that you want to hit and the distances that you've got to get the miles in,
mm-hmm.
then I don't think it really matters how you do it, because it's not the same for everybody, is it? Some people, you know, like say work could get into it and that sort of thing. So
yeah, exactly.
But you should be very proud of what you've done, because your achievement is phenomenal. So
thank you.
You know, doing your first marathon effectively, because most people find that difficult. I know I can't do it with my knees, that's for sure. I just stick to the gym. But to do an ultra marathon, you know, it's over 100K. That's, well done. How much money did you actually raise in?
We raised 1,520.
Well done.
So, yeah, really
that's
happy with
phenomenal.
That.
Phenomenal, yeah. You should be very proud. And who are you going to drag along next year then?
I'm actually doing it again next year with my sister, who unfortunately had to pull out at 92k last year.
Oh, cool.
With an injury. So,
bet
yeah.
She was gutted, wasn't she? Not making 100.
She was absolutely
yeah.
gutted, but not even being able to walk one foot in front of the other by
yeah.
that point, she had to stop.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of going into it
kind of just to get her over the finish line next year.
Right, yeah.
And then we're looking at another one, which was be the Jurassic Coast the year after that.
Right, yes.
So, which is like Tennyson constantly for 100K.
Yeah.
Whoa.
So yeah. Jurassic Coast, that's down Bridport, is that right?
Yes.
Bridport, yeah. And Durdle Door, and down there, isn't it beautiful?
Yeah.
It's a lovely bit of the British Isles, that's for sure.
So, yeah, so that'll be a couple of years' time.
Yeah.
So, Fernand, how long did you take to do the first one?
The first one I did in 36 hours and 45 minutes.
Right.
Yeah, and this year I did it in 33 and a half.
It's not constant walking for 36 hours, is it?
No, it's not. You do you get have rest
to have
stops.
You have to have rest. It's like rest stops so you can rehydrate and stuff like that, some food and stuff like that.
Yes.
Stuff like that. How long do you stop for? About an hour or something, or a half hour?
I think the longest we stopped was for maybe an hour and a half, 2 hours.
Yeah, yeah.
You can stop and sleep, but we just carried on through the night. So
yeah. Well, it's because I watched Kelvin Sinstead, the rugby player who did the ultra, and he ran from Edinburgh to Manchester constantly all through the night, 7 days on a trot, and it's just incredible. But he did it with other people there as well, but the crowds were incredible. And when he stopped, he had a physio. It also people that with nutrition that like gave him loads of drink and stuff like that. But it's just incredible. He just kept going, and he said it was tiring. This we did 72 miles in one hit. Have a rest. You have a sleep. Get up the next day. And you're away at 6 a.m. all the way, because he had logically timed how many miles he had to do in a section. But it's just incredible what people can do and put their body through. So it was incredible for you to. So was it difficult the first time to get it in your head that you had to do 66 miles?
Yes, it was, and especially because obviously the island is our training ground as well.
Yes,
you know what's coming.
Yeah.
Mm. Which I thought was going to be more of a challenge this year, knowing what was coming, but it was actually all right.
Well, I suppose it's in your head. You know you've done it, and mm-hmm. that's a big thing. And you know what's coming. You know exactly. And if you've trained properly, you seem to know, oh yeah, I'm doing it, and then you can gauge how well you're going at the same time, don't you?
Yeah.
I'm going the right speed, yeah. Look at the time, yeah. I've got loads of energy left, I'm fine. But whereas before, it's like going into a dark tunnel. You just don't know when you're coming out the other end, isn't it?
And also, anything can happen. Like, you know, like obviously with the weather and stuff like that can be a huge factor. You've got injuries, you've got, you know, anything on the tracks. Like, we had horrendous mud this year. I've never seen it like it before. For about 2K, between 35 and 37K was just a mud bath. There was injuries everywhere. It was hard going, and that did take its toll on a lot of the walkers that ended up dropping out.
Yeah.
So you've been trained for doing one of those mud runners now, haven't you? So
I've actually done a couple of them, and they're good fun. Me so, too. Yeah.
So that what's next then? You're going to do the ultra again? Yeah.
Are you going to do it?
I'm thinking maybe halfway though.
Right,
I'm one of those people that now I've done it, I want to do it gradually.
Absolutely.
I've never ever, up until this, I've never done a walking challenge at all. So nothing, not even the short ones.
Well done to get to the length that you did.
Absolutely.
Fabulous.
Yeah. It's weird. Like, now, where I used to live, if I went for the papers, I'd take the car. And then when you go on holiday, you haven't got a car, or you can hire one, but you don't have a car, you walk for miles.
Yeah.
And you don't think about it, you just keep walking. We walked along this beach, and we kept walking and kept walking, and I think, are we going to get to the end sometime? Oh, there's a pub up here, that'll do fine, have a few beers, carry on. And then we looked back on where we'd come from, and you couldn't see where we'd come from. But it gets into your mind, you don't worry about it. How long you have to walk.
Yeah.
But having to do what you did, I suppose, is a little bit different, but it's just fantastic you did it. And you go for three, you could go for two, it'd be brilliant. And it's great for the RSPCA to have the money as well for looking after those fabulous animals.
Yeah, definitely.
What animals do you look after?
So I work with a mixture of all different animals, so it's mainly I work with the cats and the dogs at the centre, so I do a lot of the behaviour side of things for the animals. So any animals that need a plan, we call it like a behaviour modification programme. So it's sort of if an animal comes in with maybe a behaviour problem, we work with them to try and help them through that and find the right, like a better behaviour to help them.
Mm-hmm.
So say you've got a dog jumping up, we might encourage to teach them a sit so that when they go to run towards you, you can go sit, and instead when you walk backwards, they'll come approach you and offer you and sit instead of running and jumping up at you.
Yes, yeah. And Vanessa, what do? You do the same or are you different?
I work with a bit of everything, but I'm mainly based in our boarding facility in the cattery.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'll get involved in any of the sections, so the smalls, like our cattery, dogs. So yeah, I'm a bit of an all-rounder.
So how many staff have you got?
21.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, a cheap code from outside. Yeah. Is that down at Bohemian Corner? Is that where the? Yeah. Is that where you are?
Really, yeah,
down there. Yeah.
It's quite a big area, right? That in that corner, isn't it?
Every time somebody comes on site, they're just amazed by how much we actually have there.
When you go round the corner, you keep going. You think, well, it's still going, it's still going. It goes right round to the right to the thing. I was surprised how big it was because there's loads and loads of different sections on there as well. I've not actually. We did. Maggie and Kelvin went to your place, and we did an outside broadcast live from there. No. They've got the caravan in there, and they did they had some people from RSPC chatting to us. I was on the desk on a Friday, and it was quite interesting. But yeah, you do fabulous. Do you get any strays in, or do you get any type of animals different than cats and dogs?
We tend to get stray cats is obviously one of the bigger ones, and we have had stray ferrets. We've had a stray rabbit before, so mm-hmm. we do get a few different strays. We've actually had a stray domestic rat before as well.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah. And then I adopted that rat.
Oh, no, they're not my favourites, I'm afraid, sorry. So, yeah, so you managed to get that. So you look after that one now, yeah. Is it difficult when you're looking after the animals, when you can see how, if they're poorly or if they've had been badly treated and stuff like that? It must be heartbreaking as people that want to keep animals safe. Must be hard.
It is, but it's inspiring to see what we can do for them and how far they come. So when you've got a dog that's become petrified of people, to see the change that it begins to trust people and build more relationships, that's one of the most rewarding parts of our job, to be honest.
I suppose, and then when they go to the forever home and stuff like that, it's even better that they get a nice home. Because we got our second dog. He was a puppy on a puppy farm in Ireland, and he came over to England, and he had to be completely stripped of all his hair because it was matted and everything. And Harry, he was lively, but if he heard a dog howl, he wanted to go and comfort it. So when they brought a new dog into the centre, they put Harry with them because he'd calmed the dog down. It was amazing. But the only thing that was wrong with him was if you go to give him a titbit, you lost 3-4 fingers at the same time. And you'd go, gentle, and then you'd go, and you'd only take 2 fingers. But yeah, that's the only problem with him, because I think what happens if he didn't grab, he wouldn't get fed. I think it had to be that. And they said, well, we had to go through the process. They sent the people round from, they had to check the garden out, make sure it's okay, because we had a Westie anyway, so it was just a matter of doubling up. Then he had to stay over, and then he had to do loads of stuff, and eventually we got him. And he did say he won't be a lap dog. And I said, okay, fine. Half hour later, he was lying on the settee on his back, patting his stomach. And he's adorable, really. But he follows Moira around all the time. He's like a little lamb. If she goes from one room to the other, he goes. But they are. You wouldn't do without them. When they go for their haircut and you come in the front door, you expect 2 white things running around jumping up at you, and there's nothing there. And you feel the house is empty. There's nothing there. It's a weird feeling.
It is. But now they've got something that they'd like to ask you. Over to you, ladies.
We currently have quite a few dogs in our care, and the unfortunate thing with the kennel environment, it's not always the best environment for certain dogs, and they could do with a home environment where they can be more relaxed. So we're asking for a shout out to all the members of public to see whether there's anyone who would have space in their home for a foster dog. We have small dogs and larger breed dogs that are looking for foster homes.
So what does being a foster home person, what is their role?
So what it basically means is you look after one of our dogs, but we cover the costs of flea treatment. If they needed to see a vet, the member of public would need to check in with us just before they took the animal to the vet. We'd cover costs of food. So it's basically having looking after a dog, but having the perks of not worrying about the costs of looking after a dog. But what it does mean is if you're fostering the dog, we would still advertise it for adoption, and you would have to be willing to bring the dog out for viewings, and you'd be providing the dogs with the walks and the home and the nice cuddles and things like that.
And the sort of normal life things that you can't materialise really in a kennels, can you?
We try our hardest
I know
to give
you do,
the animals
but being
the best.
In yeah. home yeah. Is so very different, isn't it, to being in the kennel environment yeah. with other dogs and... Yeah. I'm talking about the anxiety perspective
yeah,
for a dog.
I mean, sometimes there are dogs with separation anxiety mm-hmm. and they cope much better in a home, or it's just the kennel environment is too stressful.
Yes.
And we find sometimes dogs who are struggling in kennels and they may have particular behaviour problems, when you put them in a home environment, those behaviours become better because... It's very much known that frustration, fear, obviously drives frustration, which can encourage dogs jumping, lead ragging, things like that. But you put them in a home environment, and because they're feeling more relaxed within themselves, a lot of these things calm down or completely they don't perform that behaviour anymore.
So how can people get in touch with you? What's the best way to get in touch with you if they were... wanting to have a chat with you about fostering a dog?
You could either call us on 01983 840287 to have a conversation on there about potentially fostering. If you do feel you'd be interested in fostering, if you go on our website, there's a perfect match form to fill out. And then if you email it to reception@rspca-isleofwight, spelt out in full, .org.uk.
And this, with the same... go for if you were wanting to maybe adopt a dog or another animal, or is that a different process?
Yes, it definitely would. So all of our animals, whether it be dog, cats or rabbits, you can see what animals are available for adoption on our website. If you have a look on there and feel there's a particular one that pulls at your heartstrings, just fill out a perfect match form and email it across to us.
Oh, so do get your pen and paper ready and start thinking about being a foster.
Yes, Moira, no you're not. She would have all, because she, if she went to the RSPC, had a look, she would go, oh, look at that, I like that one. Oh, I like that one. I like, no, we haven't enough room for all them. But she just loves dogs, and she loves dogs as well. So, it's, but they are great, I have to say, that living with two white ones, it's fabulous. Because they give you so much love. As long as you respect them and keep them healthy and happy, you feed them and play tug, whatever, and then they'll lie down beside you and go to sleep. But they give more than we give them. They certainly do.
Without unconditional love, isn't it?
It is, it is, yeah. As long as you feed them and take them for a walk, they're happy. Wish the kids were like that.
Is there anything else you wanted to say, ladies?
I think, especially if people aren't in the position to be a fosterer or anything like that, if they wanted to fundraise for us for like doing anything, pop into the centre and talk to our team about any ideas that they can be doing or anything that they're already thinking about doing. You know, we're always up for helping or anything like that, even if they want us to get involved in any way. Just pop in or give us a call. You know,
do you want to give us that website again?
Go for it, Hannah, because I can't remember it off the top of my head.
The email address.
Yeah, the email address, or anywhere how they can get in contact.
So you can either call us on 01983 840 287, or you can email us at reception@rspca-isleofwight.org.uk.
Thank you so much, ladies.
Thank you.
And well
thank
done you. To your fabulous, epic walk.
Thank you.
Yeah, very impressive. Well done.
It is, yeah. So is there anything else, if you're, Hannah, if you're, and Vanessa, if you're doing anything else, please let get in contact, because then we can put it on air and help you to try and make some more money for the RSPCA. So, because we are here to help in any way we can. So
thank
if
you.
You've got an ultra, if you're doing something else, like you went to a moonwalk and you're doing it for a charity, let us know so that we can promote it on air and let the public know what's going on. So thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you for having us.
And well done anyway, and best of luck if you do it again. Thank you very much.
Cheers.
Your support matters. We operate thanks to the support of local businesses. If you would like to advertise on Vectis Radio, FM 104.6, contact our team today. Marketing@vectisradio.fm.